Well, hey, good morning, everybody. So good to be with you this Sunday morning, pre-Thanksgiving. I hope you're excited about Thanksgiving. I hope it's an exciting season, exciting time. I hope so. I hope your family is in good health and strength, and I hope you don't overeat too much. But if you do, it's okay. You just have to come to the altar and ask for forgiveness for gluttony next week. But it's like, you know, grace is sufficient. It's grace. Wear your expansion belt. Your stretchy pants, as Nacho Libre would say. Just be prepared, you know. You just want to be prepared for Thanksgiving. Room for pie, turkey, triple turkey, ham, brisket, whatever it is. Anybody eating, like, tamales? Anybody getting tamales? I just want to know. For Thanksgiving, I got a lot of places to travel then. This is good news. Give me your address. Shoot, DM me on Facebook. Coming over. I'm going to take a nap after my lunch, but then I'm coming over. For night, so save me one. Throw me one in the, however you heat yours. I am exciting, but you know what? This isn't always an exciting week for everybody, so if you will, keep people in your prayers and your heart, and remember, even through this process, this message today, you know, whenever we're seeing family, and there's always things that are stirred up. In fact, the main ministry that we have here beyond leadership development at Thrive is Freedom Ministry. And the freedom ministry that we're always dealing with and addressing, the beauty of our freedom ministry is helping people through their family problems, their family issues, whether you know it or not. Whether you had a good, healthy family upbringing or not, your immature mind growing up as a child, as an adolescent, begins to interpret life and scenarios in ways that it doesn't always understand. And so guess who's always there to give you a narrative? And that is Satan, who is the enemy of our soul. So no matter how long you've walked with Jesus, if you find yourself in a hang-up or a cycle or a continual issue, circumstance, you keep running back to an old thing, old habit, usually it always points to a freedom issue, something that God actually wants you to deal with. He doesn't want you to stay like that. He didn't create you that way to stay like that. People oftentimes hide and protect their issues and their ways of thinking and seeing life, whatever, their brokenness, as this is the way God created me. Let me remind you that in Christ you're to be born again. So if you are born one way and you're accepting that, you're accepting a lie, okay? That's okay. You could be born that way. We're all born broken. But then we get born again. So that's what the life I want to invite you into today. I want to invite you to continue to walk in, understanding what it means to be born again. And to be born again is to be born again into the likeness of the one who caused us and allowed us to be born again. And that's Jesus Christ. And so we're going to talk about things that Jesus talked about today. Is that okay? That's what we're here for, right? I mean, what are we doing if we're not? But he talked about the kingdom. He constantly showed and revealed the kingdom of God while he was walking on earth. He told us about it. Everything he did exemplified it. He released the kingdom of God. He even said, some of the first things that he said is, repent, for the kingdom of God is where? At hand. And so he's already started articulating how to understand what we're supposed to walk in and how we're supposed to walk and who we're supposed to be. So everything that he talked about and exemplified, it was directed toward three things that you're always looking for. You do everything that you're trying to do until you find these things. You're in a discovery of who am I, your identity, and that can only be found in Christ. Where do I belong? And so that's where you join clubs and you go to gangs or whatever, you go to bars or whatever, all the belonging things that we do. Then once you discover, I belong in the kingdom of God, that's where I find myself. And then purpose, why do I exist? These are your three thoughts all the time. You don't know them. You probably navigated and started filling in some voids with other things. But this is why freedom is important as well. Where do I belong? What's my purpose? Why do I exist? God, why did you create me? And that can only be found in God. There's two things. One's general purpose and one's a specific purpose. One is to reconcile every person back to the Father. And that's what Jesus has given us, a ministry of reconciliation. But even more specific than that, using your gifts, your talents, your abilities, your history. Yes, God redeems your broken history by using the experiences He sanctifies those, and now you have a new mind because you've been born again, and you're able to use those that wisdom for the sake of your specific purpose. And so I know that's a lot, but that's the discovery we're all on. And you'll never feel fulfilled, and you'll never walk in peace in the midst of chaos until you discover those three things. And while you're in the midst of discovering those three things, there will be a lot of chaos, a lot of challenge, a lot of trial, a lot of issues and circumstances. That never changes, but how you adapt to those, how you understand those, how you pursue through those, how you walk through those does change because you change. Because you're being transformed. And as the closer we get to Christ and these discoveries, the more challenges that present themselves. That's good news. That means you're getting closer. Because blessing is always protected by adversity. So if in life you're facing adversity, good news, don't quit, don't give up, don't retract, keep pressing forward. In fact, run forward, because blessing's just on the other side of that adversity. I don't know who all's in here that needs to hear that, but that wasn't for the first service. That's for you. So we're talking today about leading. We're going to try to get through this now that I sidetracked. A little rabbit trail. We're talking about leading by giving first, and I set the foundation for that, honestly, because Jesus gave first. The first thing we need to know about leading and giving first, we have to understand that we're following Jesus, and Jesus gave first. He wasn't the first to give, but he gave first. He is our example. He's the one we're trying to walk according to and like. Now, Jesus walked first. We have to understand that we are leaders. You are a leader of your home, or you're a leader of your children. You're a leader in some capacity, whether you accept it or not. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, we're followers who lead the way. So we follow Jesus, and then we turn around and lead others towards Jesus. So you are a leader, whether you accept it or not. Here's how I know that. You have been given power. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, will give you power. He will give you power when he comes. And he comes upon you. God gives you power to mobilize. Now, he also then develops this sense of authority. Jesus gives us authority to walk in, to utilize, to make a way, to make a kingdom way in the world that we live in. So we're able to live counterculture to the world around us while it's in chaos. We're able to see stability, release peace, and walk in clarity because we've developed the sense of understanding of his power and his authority. And it's not our own authority, it's his authority. His authority into any situation. So, therefore, we are to utilize those things to influence other people around us in the worlds, the domains of life that God has provided or placed you in. You've been placed in a family. You've been placed maybe in a job. You may have been placed in a pickleball team. You've been placed on the golf course. You've been placed on a ranch. You've been placed in a business. You have been placed on a team. You have been placed in the church. You have been placed in Walmart getting gas. You have been placed somewhere. And in that place, because the word says that you are Christ's ambassadors, meaning you're his, and you're to ambassador, and you're ambassador of him, so you're here to explain and show and reveal to the lost world, the broken world, a world that is counterculture and an unknown to them. So you represent different values than the world represents. And your life is a process of discovery and sanctification, a discovery of that whole journey right there. And so every part of your spiritual journey as you're pursuing the Lord is going to have its adversity, because there's little baby giants trying to rise up to keep you from becoming who God has created you to be and walking in the fullness of who you're called to walk and created to walk in. And every adversity is actually there to polish you up, to perfect you, to cause you to lay down some attributes of your life. Today, leaders give by going first. They live, we give first. I mean, sometimes we got to give some stuff up out of our lives, out of our desires, out of our emotions, out of our finances, out of our will, our strong wills, out of our pride, out of our egos. Sometimes we got to lay down our fears, our anxieties, our worries, our stressors. We have to lay all those things down. And where in the places where they manifest and they become all riled up, we'll understand that those are boundaries for our lives, for us to confront internal situations that will not allow us to move forward with power and authority into the things that God has already prepared for us beforehand, as Scripture would say. I know it's a lot. Your minds are getting opened up like little eggs, boiled eggs. Still going to be good inside, not going to be runny and mushy. This guy's like, dude, I'm runny and mushy right now. I don't know what you just said. I've been in South Carolina building. I'm done. It's all right. We're going to get you there. You stick with me. We're going to be good. So we're redefining leadership kingdom style. You see, in the world, it's a lording over. It's domineering. It's telling people what they ought to be doing. If they don't, you cuss them out until they start doing it, right? It is some kind of form of dominance. But in the kingdom of God, it's servanthood. It's laying life down. It's resourcing those in whom you're called to lead and serve. Now you are not you're not stealing resources, you're giving resources. You're removing strongholds and boundaries. You're identifying things that could cause trouble if they continue that way, so you give them insight and wisdom so that they know how to navigate those situations. You're not an enabler where you're trying to remove those situations completely for them. You are removing the blindness to them so that they can see it, so that they'll learn how to navigate their journey, so that they can be strengthened. They can learn perseverance and endurance and tenacity in the midst of their spiritual journey. You're encouraging them. You're cheerleading. You're championing. You are doing everything you can to resource their success, because you have confidence in humility that God is actually your provider and He is the only one that has caused your own success. Hallelujah. Whether you like it or not, this is good news. My goal is to make the guy crossing like this to clap today. There we go. All right. He's already started. We're getting there. Can we have fun? I mean, the kingdom of God is really fun. It really is. If you'll just lighten up and just, you know, walk out these spiritual principles, occasionally come up for prayer, the Lord's speaking to me, put something on my heart, I'm going to come lay it down at the altar, I'm done with this, I'm going to have people pray for me, I'm going to receive the healing of Jesus by faith in His name, and I'm going home transformed. Like, this is really not that complicated. Our hindrances, our pride, our little ego, our insecurities, our worries, our fears. What are people going to think about me? Who cares? They don't think about you at lunch. They're done with you by the time you walk out of here and they walk out of here. Nobody's saying, did you see so-and-so go up for prayer? No, they're eating their taco. That's it. That is 100% it. I know I am. Double meat taco, please. Can we just think about the taco? Don't worry about people. No, people aren't worried about you coming for prayer. In fact, we should be celebrating when that people are acting on next steps, including coming up for prayer, worshiping, coming in to even hear the word of God, talking about hearing the voice of God. These are celebratory next step moments. Talking about wanting to follow God, whatever it is, that's a celebration. That's a community of celebration. We will see more of the move of God when everybody begins to cultivate that environment with joy. But let's start with Jesus today and Jesus giving first. He gave first. John 13, 14 says, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to do the same. So He's showing us everything He did. He showed us what to do. Sacrificial living. He gave. Instead of lording over, He said, no, He didn't come with a throne. He came with a towel. I'm not going to rise up. I'm going to go low. He didn't come high and mighty. He came stooped down and low and servant, as a servant. He came not to be not to be shown and to be a highlight. In fact, he would say, now is not my time. He wasn't worried about being recognized. He was wanting to put others forward. Before He ever revealed, He gave. Before He ever required, He gave. Before He ever demanded of you, and God does demand of you, by the way, in love, He demands, because He knows what's best for you on the other side. To whom much has been entrusted, much more will be required. Another version says much more will be demanded. So if you've been able to steward much, have much, then that is God's sign to say you now will be demanded of much. And that's why people are like, well, I don't want anything. No, you want it. It gets fun. So He said, I have given you an example. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. So He's saying, just follow the way. Everything I do, say, how I do it, what He talked about, what he articulated, what he revealed, what he stopped them from doing, the disciples from doing. He was revealing kingdom. That way is not kingdom. This way is kingdom. That's not going to work. This is going to work. Here's how you do it. Go low instead of trying to go high. Jesus, fully God, took the posture of a servant and washed feet. He didn't wait to be honored. He took initiative and he served. He initiated humility and he gave first. He didn't demand honor. You see, when you give in humility, God begins to give honor to you through others and circumstances around you. See, the thing that you're fighting for to demand to receive, God gives away when you respond with humility and generosity. That's how the kingdom works. Philippians 2, 5 and 8 says this, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." See, too many of us are trying to do things to have reputation. What does that mean? To be seen? To be recognized? To be, "Hey, attaboy, good job." And you end up doing it for the accolades and the reputation rather than serving God. And when we do it for the sake of reputation and accolades and a good attaboy and affirmation, we actually stop doing it when we don't get enough of it because we were doing it for the wrong reasons in the first place. So when we pull away from the very thing that God called us into because we're no longer getting the accolades and the affirmation and the attaboys and the you go get them agains and the reputation around it, then we walk away because really other people's affirmation and celebrations have become our idols. Ooh. So when we decide, I'm not doing it for accolades, I don't care what people think, I don't care what people say, whether it's high good things or low bad things, I could care less, I'm going to do it because this is what the Lord said to do it, and I'm not going to do it half-heartedly, I'm going to do it as unto the Lord with my whole heart, and I'm going to do it with joy, and I'm going to let the Lord affirm me and bring me the accolades. I'm going to let myself be good with good reputation towards him and from him, and I could care less what anybody else has to say or wants to do about it. Amen to that, Austin, right? A to the man. And this is the example that Jesus came to bring. Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as man. He even was despised, Scripture would say. He humbled himself and became obedient. Like Jesus had to become even more obedient, and he was the most humble. Wouldn't that be terrible? Like you think, I'm humble. No. Then you have more to become. Like there's more obedience. There's even more. When you think you got to a level and you've arrived, no. That's when you just realize that should be a trigger to say, "Oh my gosh, that was pride. Oh my gosh, I need to go even lower. Oh my gosh, I need to seek even more obedience and become even more obedient to the voice and the will and the ways of the Lord." Oh my goodness, that just wrote. My humility and my favor just caused me to be proud. You see that? So even Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Whatever you wanted, whatever you want, Father, that's what I want. Because I may not see the outcome, but you do. I don't see how this is going to work well for me and for others, but you do. And I don't know, my sacrifice, I don't know what that can even do for anybody, but you do. You see, the moment we give up control to be God and understand and know the outcome is the moment we actually start to live. Why do we start to live? Because we actually start to live according to the Creator and his values and his ways, and we begin to come into the likeness of Christ because we give up the right to be right. We give up the right to be in control. We give up the right to know what God is wanting to do on the other side of our laying our lives down in any area of our life. And the more you're willing to lay down, the more you get to your boundary moments, and the more you're willing to die to self and put it on the altar of sacrifice rather than run from it, which is what most our flesh does, wants to run from growth, the moment we sit there and stand on it and say, nope, I'm laying this on the altar. This is not going to allow me to pursue and persevere and go into the fullness, into the future, into what God has designed me for. The moment we're willing to humble ourselves and lay ourselves down, lay that stuff on the altar of sacrifice, the more God begins to raise us up. And the very thing we try to run towards, which is a counterfeit version of us raising ourselves up, we begin to discover and walk in naturally without all the stress and the pressure. Doesn't take away the trials and the air and the situations and circumstances. It just changes how we persevere through them because we have now the anointing and the power and the authority of God to do so. And it's only because we responded with humility and obedience and honor and reverence. He transforms everything, which is completely counterculture and hard for our minds, human minds, to understand. So no matter what level of life and spiritual journey, at some point, we want accolades. We want reputation. We want to be recognized. But Jesus showed us something different. In fact, if our life of following Jesus is not a sacrificial continuum, then we may need to check ourselves before we riggedy-wreck ourselves. Because here's the two things. There's only one of two that can happen. It's either you are choosing a daily sacrifice. You are recognizing because of your self-awareness and your acuteness, your nearness with the Holy Spirit. He is leading you into more humility and obedience as he did the Lord. And so it requires more of a sacrifice, a laying of something down. Maybe it's my rights. Maybe it's my will. And I mean rights to be right. As in, you did me wrong. I should never forgive you. You're going to have to ask me. You're going to have to do all that. But you know what? My responsibility is in obedience is to forgive anyway. And it's not only to forgive, it's actually to bless. So I got to forgive you and bless you? Yes, that's the kingdom way. That's the kingdom way. And it reveals even more obedience and humility, and it says, get to God, that's fertile soil. That's something that I can do something with. That's my son, that's my daughter, in whom I can trust many things and I can do many things with. So if your life is not sacrificial, here's what happens. No matter where you are in your spiritual journey, you're going to naturally, your flesh is going to begin to take over because that little sucker is going to rise up. It's going to resurrect as well. That flesh is going to want to hold on, grab a hold of. All of a sudden, it's walking into pain points that God is literally guiding you to because, again, the blessing is on the other side of this adversity. And if our flesh, if our nature, and if our insecurities and our issues and our ways, our need to control start to guide us, then we're going to walk away. We're going to run from. This is why so many people run from ministry, run from situations, run from blessing, run from opportunities. They run from a business deal. They run from a marriage. They run from a big financial situation. They run back into what they think is comfort, but they're not even comfortable back there. They're just discomfortable and uncomfortable in this situation that God has actually led them into so that they can be removed of themselves and humble themselves and lay some stuff down on the altar of sacrifice so that they can actually become themselves, so that they can realize the blessing and become the blessing on the other side of the adversity. So it requires this. So naturally, if you're not choosing sacrifice every day and sometimes moments in the beginning, or maybe as it gets a little hotter in there, then you're naturally going to want to, your flesh is going to start isolating, grabbing a hold of, holding on to what's comfortable. This is what I know. This is the thing that I'm going to do. And all of a sudden, you start retracting away and you're calling it, I'm stepping back, or I'm walking. I'm just going to rest for a little while. Rest there at the altar of sacrifice while you worship the Lord. I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you. We're going to talk about the kingdom of God, not attending church today. Because there's two different routes that you've been taught all your life to just come in, be a good little boy or girl, sit there in the pew, give your tithes and offerings, go home, and don't be changed, but come back next Sunday. In the kingdom of God is you find out who you are, you come in, we worship together, we hear the word, we get transformed and renewed by the power of God, we experience him, and we come up for prayer, we receive transformation, we receive impartation, we stir up the gifts of the Spirit, and we walk out of here as transformation, walking tabernacles, because your body is the place of the Holy Spirit. So when people encounter us, they're encountering a holy God, and we can confidently and boldly and humbly release him into the environments in which he is guiding us into. That's the kingdom of God lifestyle. And that's what walking with Jesus actually looks like. So kingdom leaders don't wait for permission to give, they go first. I'm going to initiate because that's who I am. I'm called to do that because I am to be in likeness with my Creator. That's what he does. I'm an ambassador. So what giving really looks like? Financially, there's limiting beliefs in every area of our lives. So we have to understand what it means, what it giving really, giving first really looks like. I have a limiting belief. We all have limiting beliefs. These are our giants. These are our little challenging moments. These limiting beliefs are actually our boundary that say, when I get to that point, I don't understand what God can actually do on the other side. My limiting beliefs cause me to run back to my comfort zone for however long I want to stay, or I'm choosing to stay in my comfort zone, but avoid the pain and the risk and the blessing. Unknowingly, we're avoiding the blessing that's on the other side. You see, there's a giant, there's a Goliath in front of us, and you have now had to walk as the character of David. And there's people around you, because you are in the kingdom of God and you are a follower of Jesus Christ, there are people around you who love you, they're praying for you, they're celebrating you, they're watching you, they're depending upon you to slay your giants, to confront your Goliaths. Here's what biblically the Word of God tells us, that when David slayed his Goliath, his men were able to then slay the brothers of Goliath and the others like Goliath. You see, there's some people in your life that are waiting for you to face your giants, your battle, your stronghold, your issue that you've been running from for maybe years or decades. And once you finally slay that giant and you persevere past that giant, they, your generations, your family, the people around you, the influence which you've been given for the sake of God's kingdom, not your own, they now begin to slay their giants, and now there's an army walking forward in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. This is good news. This is really good news. And until you start to slay your giants, you may be halting a move of God. The opposite is true too. When you walk away from the confrontation of the Goliath that God has intentionally allowed to be placed in your life to prepare you for the rest of the journey, when you walk away, the people who have given, God has given influence, your influence into their lives and your influence over their lives, they also begin to walk away from their giants. And then you can begin to collaborate and come together, and then everybody else that was the challenge and every issue that was the challenge, now you kind of start gossiping and gathering, of, well, they're the problem, they're not right, but you also know that something ain't right about this either. So let me just give you a glimpse into the future. You're just better off facing your giants and moving on. In fact, when you find trial and you see difficulty and everything inside of you wants to back up and quit and give away and stop, that's when it needs a trigger and say, then I need to run forward through this thing and allow God to purify everything in my heart that feels insignificant, insufficient, weak, anxious, fearful, worried, whatever it is. Good news, I'm placing all of that on the altar of sacrifice before the Lord, because as Pastor Juan said last week, if you were here, he says, when I say I can't, I'm saying I have to do it by myself. But if I say I can't, but God, you can, and that's on the altar of sacrifice, then God begins to burn some stuff up inside of me, purifying me and perfecting me for the journey ahead. So no, I can't do any of this. And I remind myself every night when I'm tapped out and exhausted from doing about 5 to 6 different things that are crazy ridiculous, and at the end of the day, I want to give up. But I remind myself, God, there is joy in the morning. I can't do this, but I know you can. Whatever is in me that is causing this, I lay it down. And Lord, these are my prayers. These are authentic Nathan prayers. Use me for your glory in whatever you want to do, and get anything inside of me that is in the way out of me. These are real, authentic, vulnerable, truthful, nightly prayers. You can't imagine how often I want to give up, but I remind myself tomorrow's going to be different when you wake up. And it is. Never has it not. And I wake up with more endurance, more tenacity, more encouragement from the Lord. Limiting beliefs, if I give, I won't have enough. The truth in the kingdom is until you give, you'll never have enough. Until you do, you won't have enough. 2 Corinthians, in fact, tells us, if you sow reapingly, then you're going to spare reapingly. So if you only want to have a little, don't worry. Just give little or nothing. But don't complain about having little or nothing when you're the cause of it. So therefore, the reverse is true. I can be the cause of reaping bountifully. I can be the cause of that because I sow bountifully according to the word. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not begrudgingly. The other, mentally limiting belief. I'm stuck this way. No. You know what? This is the hand that I was dealt. Well, learn how to play Texas Hold'em and take a draw. Get a new hand. Cash that whole bad boy in and say, I'll take a new hand. I'm going for it. You're not stuck this way. You're stuck this way in the limited belief. But the moment you start to take on a new truth, which is from the Word of God, which means requires you to be conformed and be transformed by the renewing, not of the patterns of this world, but of the way of God's world, then that unlock starts to happen, and all of a sudden what I couldn't see becomes revealed. Emotionally, I have nothing left to give. Good news. Because when you have nothing left to give, it meant you were trying to do it all on yourself and in of yourself and not depending on God through the process. Great. Then you finally got to a place where you can actually move forward and die to some things, lay some things on the altar of sacrifice. I have nothing else to give. Wonderful. That means you're in a good situation. Don't run. Because God will fill you up. God will heal you up. God will give you insight. God will clarify your vision. God will give you creative vision. God will resource you. God will lift you up. God will cause the things to happen because He wants the journey to happen way more than you want to happen. He just has to get you out of you so He can get more of Him in you to fulfill the journey. Yes, you can't do it. Hallelujah. But He can, and He chose you to do it. In spite of you, He chose you to do it. With all of your junk, He chose you to do it. He's not afraid of your junk. He can clean it up if you'll lay it down. He chooses jacked up people. Look, you just have to be willing to lay it down. Lay it down often. What else we have, Pastor? Relationally, well, they should go first. That should be a clear sign if you're a person of the kingdom. If they should go first, that means the Holy Spirit is actually telling you, but you know what? Because of who you are, you ought to. But you don't know what they did, but I know what I did for you. Yeah, but no. He says this. This is Jesus talking. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember you, your brother has something against you, It doesn't mean that you did something. Has something against you. Leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother. So on Thanksgiving, when crazy Uncle Eddie shows up and you're like, oh, Lord. Go to your brother. You know what? We've had an indifference for a long time. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I know how I feel about it. And I just want to clean up my side of the street. You know that that's all you're responsible for? Is your side of the street? And so if I've done something, and I've hurt you or wronged you, would you please forgive me?
The more I seek you.
Can I tell you, you wouldn't believe how many people have waited decades to hear those words, decades to hear those words. And in reality, they were waiting for that moment of reconciliation. You've forgotten what the issue was. It was just an issue. The other person is just waiting for somebody to be the bigger person and ask for forgiveness. And all is restored. Doesn't mean you have to be in a relationship with that person. It just means, man, I am just want to be obedient to the Lord. I want to humble myself and be obedient to the Lord. Would you please forgive me? Maybe it's in your marriage where you just need to, you know what, I've been a jerk lately. Or I've been mouthy lately. Or well, I've been nagging lately. I notice you keep going to the deer stand a lot. Is there something wrong? Scripture says it's better to live in the wilderness than with a nagging wife, right? So, it's all fun, but for real. There's some sacrifice. I'm going to take you. Because when Abraham was asked by God to give up a promise, lay down your life, lay down Isaac, rather, lay your son down, the promise, go to where I tell you, take your son, take some wood. I mean, dang, even Isaac was carrying the wood for his own death. Go to the altar, build an altar, go to the mountain, build the altar, put your son on the altar. Could you imagine being at that place and you're having to put a promise down? Like your only child with your true wife that you have left. This is the promise though, Lord, but you said, Lord. Here's the key in all of this. There's several keys I'm going to identify for you. Number one, God was never going to allow Isaac to slaughter, for Abraham to slaughter Isaac, to sacrifice him. God already had an answer in the bush. He already had a ram. He already had a solution for the problem. Here's what you need to know. Sometimes we're unwilling to lay things down for the sake of God, and therefore we actually miss the solution that God already has for the problem that we're dealing with. The burden that we're carrying, the thing we're so focused on. He could have been easily focused on what Isaac, on the fact that Isaac was the promise, his relationship with Isaac, that Isaac was the solution, but instead he said, I'm going to lay it down and trust to you, and Lord showed up and he says, here's a better solution for you. Another thing happened that we see is that Abraham worshiped. So in the most difficult time of your life, in the most down and depressed time of your life, the most challenging time of your life, the biggest issue that you'll ever face, are you worshiping the Lord because he's good in the midst of it? Because that's what Abraham, that's the example that our father of faith, which Jesus says he gave us, he says, and he worshiped. He laid Isaac on the altar and he worshiped. In the midst of having to give up something so important to him, maybe God is saying, hey, maybe it's time to lay that thing down that you've been holding on to. Your right to be right, your right to control, your way of seeing things, your way of doing things. Maybe it's time, that's what's time to lay down on the altar of sacrifice. It's that thing that's been keeping you from mobilizing into your spiritual journey, keeping you from being able to hear clearly and walk clearly with the voice of God. And maybe once you start laying that thing down, God will begin to, or you'll have the ability, the capacity, the emotional strength, the mental strength, the strength, and somehow to be able to see the solution that God has had right there the whole time, but you've been too focused on the wrong thing. Hallelujah. But here's another thing. I want to ask you to stand up. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come forward. Because here's the other thing. The other thing is this. At the altar of sacrifice, when you come forward for prayer, this is the beauty. This, spiritually speaking, this is always in the church world, the altar of sacrifice, by the way. That's why they call it the altar. What happens is a transference. There's a spiritual encounter that takes place. It's taking place out there. The Holy Spirit's already moving. He's already identifying some things to you. What he's saying there is saying, hey, I want to pull this weed out of your garden. I want to pull this thorn out. I want to help you right here. The response is saying, yes, Lord, I want that. And then we come forward for prayer because Scripture says that a prayer of a righteous person avails much. So two things happen in that circumstance whenever we go to the altar. One is we begin to worship God even in our most difficult times. But the other is, when we go to the altar, there's got to be a life laid down. So there may be an area of your life that the Holy Spirit has identified in your heart, in your innermost being, in your person, and probably he's warming you up and he's messing with you right now and he's tickling around it. You can't get the thought out of your mind. And that's the very thing that God is saying today, this morning. Will you leave this place transformed and changed? But before you do that, will you come up to the altar of sacrifice and will you lay that area of your life down? Will you lay down control over that area? Will you lay down the right to be right? Will you lay down that pain? Will you lay down that hurt? Will you lay down whatever it is? And I'm inviting you to come forward right now. If the Holy Spirit is talking to you about anything, and I know he is, a response is always required. Because remember, Scripture said that Jesus humbled himself to the point of obedience. And that's the pull of the Holy Spirit. And I'm encouraging you not to come up for prayer so that somebody can talk about you at tacos. I'm encouraging you to learn how to respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And that's the greatest thing that you'll ever learn how to do. So I want to encourage you right now, if the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you about anything, to come forward and let one of our brothers and sisters pray for you, pray over you, pray over your life, pray over your week, pray over your marriage, pray over your finances, pray over your situations. Because there's giants in front of you, and we were talking about facing giants and running and fleeing or confronting and running at. I know that no matter where you are in your spiritual journey, there is those times where it feels like it's almost paralyzing. It's so weighty. Even talking about it is exhausting. And that is not from God. But I can tell you the other side, the blessing on the other side truly is from God. And I know that God wants to move in this room today. I know he wants to move on your life. He wants to move before you and on your behalf. And I'm asking you right now, if the Holy Spirit is moving, if he's speaking to you, if he said anything to you, I'm going to encourage you to come forward for prayer. Let these brothers and sisters come into agreement over what God wants to do in the midst of your circumstance. Lay down on the altar the thing that you're focused on so that you can see the solutions from heaven for your circumstances, for your generations. Because here's what God said. He said, because you did this thing, because you are willing to lay it down, he says, blessing, I will bless you. You see, the promise was the blessing that he would bless Abraham, and not only bless Abraham, but he would bless the generations. He will multiply. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore. And not only that, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. Can I tell you where the gate of your enemies are? It's right here in the point of tension. There's the gate of your enemies. And if you want your children and your descendants to begin to face their giants when they get into the point of adversity, then by God, you better start facing your Goliaths and your giants and standing firm in the altar of sacrifice, laying some things down. Lord, purify me. Whatever is hindering me, whatever is causing me to focus more on anxiety and worry and fear and adversity than it is on your presence. Lord, let this burn out of me. Let it be gone in Jesus' name. Lord, purge me of those things. Purify me with the gold of your love and so I can move forward with tenacity, and not only because of me in this moment, but because of the generations that are coming after me who will have enemies. And I want to lead the way in this generation for the next generation so that not only I will be blessed, but the generations who come after me, and not only the generations who come after me, but all of the nations will be blessed through me. And God, because of who he is, will begin to give wisdom and clarity and vision and an insight to perform and to become a blessing to people in ways that you never could see coming when you're focused on your adversity. So God in this season is truly rising up some warriors in the faith. He's truly rising and igniting in a fire in his sons and daughters. But it requires a response. You can spark all day long, but if your wood is too wet, let me tell you, you're going to have to blow that thing, fan the flame. You're going to have to do something in response for the God, the Holy God, to move on your behalf. Elijah was able to move because of his relationship. He called on fire, and God burnt up some wet wood on the altar of sacrifice and everything around it. But God was, Elijah was petitioning. He was humble. He was seeking. He was obedient. He was walking with the Lord, and this is what it requires for kingdom warriors, sons and daughters who are tired of the way life has been to this point and can see, can sense, and can know that there's a better future, that there's a brighter future, that there's more ahead. They're no longer going to willingly sit by and complacent for the situations in their lives and their family's lives and their finances and their marriage. They're going to rise up and stand up, and that's the Goliath that they're going to choose to face this day. As for me and my house, they're declaring, we will.